Bada bing, bada boom. Walford's stuck in the house. Quarantine edition again.
Welcome back.
You think we would have more of these out?
A time. What's that?
You think we would have more of these out?
I guess. You think we'd have nothing to do, but we are parents who have jobs and a child to...
I don't remember what my job looks like.
Yeah, your job is no stay-at-home teacher.
It's the worst job ever. I want schools to reopen. Obviously when the virus is over, but I can't wait. I'm going to be like a kid at Christmas.
Thanks for saying that my job is the worst job ever.
Your job is just too hard.
Thanks.
I still love you, though.
Thanks.
I've been playing Call of Duty. A lot of it.
Yes, he has. A lot of it.
I finally caught up in it, so I'm very happy.
I'm not. But anyway, I've been playing games too, so I can't complain.
Yeah, because your birthday bought you all the Assassin's Creed. Rogue,
and I feel like I don't deserve to play another Assassin's Creed for a while because of the things I had to do in that game. So I'm kind of recovering.
No new music has captivated us lately either.
Nope, it's all been garbage.
Did
we talk about the Weeknd album last time? Did it come out yet? No, it
did
not.
No, I don't think it did. And we've been banging that album since it's been out.
Yes.
I mean, me more so than her. I've been listening to it like top down.
No, because he has this way of like playing music ad nauseum until he gets tired of it. I don't operate like that. I take it in stride and then I stop and go and stop and go because I don't want to get tired of it.
I already memorized like half the songs.
Yeah, so. But anyway, we are here again to talk about something that we actually came across a while back, a couple weeks ago. But again, you know, with getting time to do another episode, it was not that easy, but here we are, and it is some mind-blowing stuff.
It's really screwed up.
Yeah. So, let's just give you the history. So, on September 7th, if we want to be exact, an Instagram page called Black Nasdaq posted an expose that was done on this concept of digital models. And when we looked further into it, this actually had been out since 2017. Like, the models have been out since 2017. And they're created by this program called Dazed, spelled D-A-Z-3-D. It's pretty lame.
Sounds like a game.
But I guess it's a play on the concept of 3D modeling, right? So, yeah. So, these people created people, quote-unquote, to model on Instagram. And at first glance, you think they're real. But when you investigate it, they're actually just CGI models. And the issue was, when they just came out, they did not disclose to the public that these people were fake people. So a lot of people, I'm saying people a lot, a lot of persons online believed, oh wow, you know, they're so beautiful. And it was two female models. So the first one was a representation of a black South African woman. And it's South African because of the way they created her clothing and physique. They used actual items from South Africa.
I just want to get this out there before you continue with the history lesson. Mm-hmm. The image that you showed me, I forgot what it was, but I'm sure if we were to look for it again, I would see it.
Yeah.
But her, at one picture, she looked like she was like rocking blackface, and I was kind of offended still. I was like,
I'm not talking about that one yet, babe. I'm talking about the African one. So you're talking about this one, right? Little Michaela.
Nah, the black girl, yeah, the African one. There's one where they made her lips like bright, bright pink red.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
And her skin was super dark in one of the pictures. So,
so like reminiscent of the minstrel blackface thing with the pink lips.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
I didn't really dig that too tough. Yeah, she's right there. It's right there.
Yes.
Unfortunately, y'all can't see it right now, but
we will put it on the Instagram page for you to see it. But, because believe it or not, the page is still up, even though it's 3 years later.
And again, like, I know I probably shouldn't call this out per se, but the person's behind, or at least the person I know that's behind this particular model, he's a white gentleman. So
we're getting there, babe.
I'm just saying, man, like, it just looking at it, it upsets me, because it's like, all right, just do your history lesson before I go on a tangent.
Because no, like, we're here.
I'm sorry, like, Jesus. I saw the picture and I got irate.
Okay, so as I was saying, yeah, they created these models, and one of them is the South African woman with the neck rings that they use in South Africa for that neck lengthening beauty tradition that they have in certain tribes. And the other one is a little girl, quote unquote, called Lil Michaela. And she, I don't even know how to describe her race, because she looks Caucasian, but they have instances of like Asian kind of cosplay vibe going on with her as well. So I'll let you judge for herself. Judge for yourself.
I was about to say, what?
Yeah, you see, it's messing with my brain already, right? But yeah, so the creator of Shudu, as Jamal was alluding to, is a young white man who was at the time 28 years old, and he just decided to create this black woman that, in his own words, oh, it's something that we've never seen before. And I'm like, we literally see black women every day, though. Like, black women are a real, you know, human thing that exists.
I mean, when you think of, like, black African women, generally, that look is what you're already seeing, minus the bright lips. But you already see the neck rings, the bracelets, the dresses, the cloth that they wear with the patterns on it. This is not uncommon. Like, you can even look at any movie that has to do with black slavery and things of that nature, and you look at these African prominent countries that were all black, they all have the same thing. Like, this is not new. This is not, I mean, it's so common.
It's not like that imagery is not portrayed. Of course, we can definitely agree it's not portrayed often enough. I will not disagree with that, right? Because in so many industries, it has been discussed time and time again, there is still this level of colorism, right? Where you can have a black woman in TV shows and in movies, but there's still that distinction between the light skin, quote unquote, and the dark skin, quote unquote. You see it in advertising. And I extend this challenge to anyone listening. The next time you're watching TV, or YouTube for that matter, and you're looking at commercials, take a look at the people that are people of color. And make a note anytime you see a person who is darker than Lupita Nyong'o or Viola Davis. Like, you usually see the Diana Ross, Tracy Ellis Ross, for that matter, complexions with the, you know, the curly type hair. You don't normally see the 4C low-cut afro hair black woman with her in her natural state. How often do you see that? Make a mental note the next time, right?
Black Lightning. I mean, Black Panther. I got my heroes confused. Sorry.
Right? So black is black, right? Blackity black. Yeah, black. Yeah. But yeah, like, take a look. So there is still an issue with representation, but forgive me, I do not want to hear from a 28-year-old white man that he is going to be the pioneer for fixing that by making a 3D model and pretending she's a real person.
It's not even, you know what, man, even if it was something as like you gave an actual physical person of our color, of that ethnicity, the ability to give them a lane to show that their clothing is not only stylish and whatever and looks good, but you're putting out there in the public media that this is actually cool to wear. At least you open up a lane for that human being and the next few women that may come after her. You created a 3D model of this perfect being. God only knows if those clothes are even real on the person. So I mean, you're taking money out of black individuals that could honestly earn it, so that you can keep yourself wealthy. And on top of that, you're manipulating the entire process of what a model is. Like, yeah. To me, you do models a very big disservice, because these are people who take their diets very seriously, who make sure they do their utmost best to look a certain way physically and mentally, to preserve that mind of being, I'm this very handsome or this very beautiful person, and I can put on anything and execute at the highest level. Now, you're going to have some fat guy in his basement who's going to make a 3D model one day and say, and it could be anybody. I mean, anyone who can use a computer at a very high level with 3D models. Like, you're just going to have these guys just sitting here taking over this industry.
Yep.
And it's like, what happens to them? I mean, when is it going to be too much, when we allow these technology to start taking over?
And again, to me, what also bothers me about it is it's just another form of exploitation of black people, and more specifically black women, right? It's the same kind of thing that we had with Sarah Bartman. Babe, don't put it on that, it will slide off. It's the same kind of thing with Sarah Bartman, right? So if you don't know who Sarah Bartman is, like Roy said, Google that one when you have the time. But, you know, you have a black woman and you're talking about, oh, this is something we've never seen before. Because it's not a Eurocentric perception of something, it's new. This is a human being that exists in a part of the world where tons of people look like this, but it's new to you, so it's new to everybody, and you must preserve it in a museum and gawk at it and make money off of it and exploit it.
Everybody wants to Christopher Columbus everything.
Exactly. Like, black women exist. You know how many models out there before people like Alec Weck and Naomi Campbell, you know, were able to get into the modeling industry? You know how many beautiful black women were always turned down because their skin was too dark? And you're going to come and say, oh, it's something we've never seen before? Get the hell out of here.
It's almost, I want to say it's almost to the extent of like when, I don't have all the parameters here, so please just don't take this for, I'm sure Deborah will help me along the way here. The mascara situation, where prominent companies were making mascara in different colors and shaders, but they didn't have a shade mainly for...
Oh, you mean like when Rihanna did
her, yeah,
thing? Okay, for, so...
That would cater more to...
Bless your heart. So, he's saying mascara?
I don't know the difference.
Yeah, like the makeup. Like,
I'm not out here wearing it, so...
That's so funny.
I'm not out here wearing it, so...
But yeah... Yeah, because we had such a debate about it, right? When Fenty came out and took over the makeup industry, and all of a sudden all these top brands are coming out with, you know, all these shades, when for years black women have been telling and begging and pleading, we cannot find our shade. We always have to be going several shades lighter than our actual skin and doing the creative stuff to make makeup look good on us. And mark you, I'm not a makeup person.
Thank Jesus.
I just recently got into wearing makeup, like, to work and stuff, because, to be honest, like, I started doing it as like something to add to my morning routine, to motivate me to get up, get dressed, and feel good about myself. And there were days when I would wear makeup when I'm feeling down and I'd feel better. And like, even now that we're in quarantine, well, not quarantine, we're not sick, but we are in
self-isolation
from getting sick. Some days when I wake up and I don't feel like doing work, I put on makeup. I get dressed up like I'm going to work, and it motivates me, you know. And even then, I don't do the contour and the three layers, base layers, a dad primer. I don't do all that stuff. I just do the basic stuff. But yeah, the point Jamal was saying was that...
Yeah, because you lost me.
It was the same thing there where, you know, all along, no one catered to the dark-skinned black woman and to the many shades of black that we have in makeup. Rihanna does it, and all of a sudden, everybody gets onto it. Yeah, all of a sudden, they know how to do it now. They have the technology now. They have the material now. Because they do not want to miss out on a piece of the pie when it comes to profiting off black women. That's what these white-dominated corporations do. And it's the same thing going on here with this. To be honest, if this was 5 years ago, people would be freaked out. People would call this kind of stuff weird and unnatural. But our society has become so comfortable with automated imaging and artificial intelligence that they're not as freaked out as they should be.
And I feel like there's a gap here between our eras of growing up, because we are millennials nonetheless, and it was a funny joke yesterday.
Shout
too.
Out, you're not millennial.
It was a funny joke yesterday when I was playing Call of Duty, ironically, and one of my friends picked a female character. He's a dude. And everyone in the game was just like, "Hey man, like why did you pick her anyways?" Mind you, this is for all those who may not be familiar with games, it's a first person, so you can only see what's in front of you. You can't see the actual character model. So everyone was just kind of curious as to why he would pick a female model and you're a dude. And his explanation was, it's something good to look at. But you don't see her at all. It may be in the beginning when you jump off a plane and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I always find that when...
And for context, he's also a white male.
And I... Bless his heart. Mm-hmm. What I find is people who are into that kind of thing, like even like your casual anime watchers to your most hardcore cartoon watchers, whatever the case may be, even artists who draw and stuff. If to me, I always thought it was a weirdo thing, like to be into something that is not really there. Mm-hmm. And with this new 3D model business, I think the dude's a pervert. That's just my personal opinion, because it's like, instead of going and getting the woman yourself to maybe model for it for you and stuff, because again, there's ethics behind it and what that person may not be willing to do. Mm-hmm. Now you have absolute autonomy over what you want this model to do.
You're so right.
And I think that's disgusting.
That, yeah, as you're saying that, it makes sense, because it's like, so you can have her naked, you can have her pose any way you want, and he controls her image. If there's money to be made, he's the one making the money. Whereas real black women out there who could be doing this in a equitable and ethical way are losing out, because other industries, believe me, this is catching on.
Because in all honesty, like you have to look at it this way too. You take away one key thing that every business should have, and that's integrity.
Yeah.
And the second you go the ladder and decide to follow with technology, integrity is now gone. Because nobody is now held accountable for it. Mm-hmm. Because all you're going to do is say, I didn't program it to do that, so it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have a teen 3D model dressed up in any which way you like. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the average Joe who's been convicted of poaching children at school and crap like that, now you have this guy who's to say he's any more weirder than the guy making the 3D models. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Like, now you start clouding things. You start to muddy things up. Mm-hmm. And I don't think society realizes that the direction we're going with just, again, I don't want to get too off topic, but with just technology in general, where we're headed, mankind itself is going to fall behind. Mm-hmm. And sooner or later, we won't be necessary to get some tasks done.
And yeah, and you know, it's really not off the topic, because it comes back to the idea of exploitation. You know, you have quote-unquote cheap labor all over the world because people want to exploit people. They want the most amount of product, the highest amount of profit for the least amount of cost. And technology just ups that even more.
It ups the ante.
Because with technology, you now have cut out the basic issue of people. You don't have to worry about health benefits, unions, ethics, morals, working hours, any of those things, because you have a robot or a CGI model who will work for you like a literal slave, you know, forever. And I know it's not a real person, it's not a slave, but I'm just saying that is what if they could do that to human beings, that's what they would do. If they could make you work forever until you die, that's what they would do, because that's what they used to do. And you know, people say, why do black people always bring race into it? You know why we always bring race into it? Because it's never stopped being about race. Since the creation of the world as we know it right now, it's always been about race. The backbone of society, Europe and North America and South America, because people like to forget about South America. Like, South America was over there having a wonderful time. Everywhere in the world, the Caribbean, Asian countries, every surface of this planet has been molded and benefited from racism and race exploitation. There is no history in the world that can say that that is not true for them. And I dare somebody to find out and tell me. So that's why it always comes back to race. So the point is, if you have a country who not so long ago, their main source of profit was slavery, which literally meant working people to death for free, that gets taken away from them because it kind of stopped making as much money as it used to, and people got, you know, ethics involved, and it was too hard. So they found another way to do it. Industrialization, right? Slums and urbanization, forcing you to join this rat race. So we're going to pay you, but we're going to pay you a little bit. Because remember, they never used to pay us at all. So we're going to pay you a little bit to work like you used to under a slightly better conditions. People are still dying because of being overworked. Fast forward to now. Now, we still have a wage gap based on race. We still have a wage gap based on gender. We still have people dying because you're overworked. And exponentially connected to your race, you end up having lower paying jobs, expected to work harder to even get the job. And then when you get the job, you're still being overworked. It has never stopped being about race. So now, to take it to the next level, we're going to exploit black people virtually too, with CGI models? Nah. It's gross and it's wrong. And unfortunately, it's going to create a whole bag of worms, but there is really nothing, there's nothing anyone can do about it, because it's not a real person. And there's no commission for the lives of AI, which, you know, reminds me of Detroit Become Human.
Reminds me of a lot of things.
So if you don't know what that is, that's a PlayStation game you should definitely check out. But anyway, yeah.
I'm just saying, in everything you've ever seen in society where technology ends up taking over, never ends well for us.
Yeah. We have literally thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of examples in science fiction, from
books, movies, games.
It's all
in your face all the time.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because people see it and they get inspired to create it. So it's a cycle. You can't get rid. It's going to happen. A lot of things that we're doing right now, people dreamed about 100 years ago and never thought it would ever happen.
Oh, for sure.
You know, flying in a plane, talking to people on a screen.
To now 5G internet.
Yeah. You know, this level of connectedness was things, was a level people literally dreamed about and thought, oh, this is all just fantasy.
I mean, even now, Toronto's looking to become a small part of Toronto is looking to become a smart city.
In what way?
So technology, basically, it will scan everyone inside that region, cameras everywhere. You could walk up to a door, it automatically opens. It's it's like technology at its like peak at this point, where the city itself runs on technology, like a constant thing that is forever on 24 hours a day, all across, you know, the city.
And no one thinks about all the ramifications of this. Like, I have a colleague. Her daughter is actually allergic to Wi-Fi.
I still don't understand how that happens.
Yeah. And they found out after a while, because she would go to school and, you know, like, she kept getting sick and feeling nauseated, and they thought it was food poisoning. They thought it was allergies. They thought, oh my God, it's asbestos. But no other kid was getting sick but her. And it took a lot of investigation and finding out what changed. What is the one new thing you did in this school? Because if they would move her to a certain part of the school, she wouldn't feel that way and blah, blah, blah. Finding out they added a Wi-Fi router. And yeah, and she has to be at home. There are other people like her too. And even if we don't feel the effects the same way or at the same rate as people who are hypersensitive like this poor child was, it is affecting us. I remember growing up and I always used to wonder, where did all this cancer come from? You know, what? And then I used to blame microwaves. I used to say it must be microwaves. And I used to be like, in my own little world about microwaves for a while.
Everyone shared that world with
you. You know? But yeah, and I'm like, how can nobody make this connection yet? Like, why are they not seeing that the more technology we have, the more there's a rise in all of these things? You know, the when I was doing health and safety training at work, they even tell you being around computers for too long makes you sick, because they give off dirty electricity and waves, and you know, it messes with your vision and blah blah blah. So your workstation must be organized a certain way where you can take regular breaks. And this is knowledge that they have out there, but they refuse to inform the public because, again, exploitation. The most product, highest profit, lowest cost. And that cost is often human lives. So we need to really reflect on these things that we're embracing so heavily. And there's a divide, you know, with age and, oh, you know, you young people embrace everything with technology, and okay, boomer, you're old and you hate technology. But it's more than that. This is a human issue. And if there's anything this coronavirus is telling us, we are all connected. We are all connected. And whatever happens in one part of the world actually does affect everywhere else in the world. So
I have nothing more to talk on this topic, though. I think that was a good send-off. What do you think?
I think so, too.
Bada bing, bada boom. Waffles out the room.
Peace.